The Samaritan woman is the speaker. And in John chapter 4, verse 9, she says, "How is it that thou, being a Jew?" Let's pray. Our gracious God, we commend the rest of our service to thee. Thank you, Lord, for your encouragement so far, for what you have been saying to us through the hymns and through your word. We ask that you will continue to guide us and help us in our study this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people might ask the question, why set aside a whole Sunday to remember the Jews? Why bother thinking of the Holocaust today? Well, there are three answers that I want to give right away to that question. First of all, the Ulster connection. The Ulster connection to the Jewish people. Methodist College, Belfast. You're wondering why mention Methody, as it's called. Well, on my way to the prayer meeting, the Bible study on Thursday evening, I was on foot. Try as often as possible to walk. Whenever you get to my age, you're battling the bulge. So you try to walk if you can. So set off, left the house, just leaving Hayfield Park on my way to the church, and bumped into a neighbour and was speaking to her. She's an elderly lady who lives near us there in Hayfield Park. But we get into conversation, and she began to tell about how she went to Methody. And then she said that some of the teachers were Holocaust survivors. Some of the teachers, some of the people who had taught her in Methodist College had survived the Holocaust. My ears pricked up. I said, "That's very interesting." Then she pulled out a piece of paper and she said, "Well, I've got a speech that someone has given to me. It's to do with the Holocaust. It's going to be read at Belfast City Hall on Monday, tomorrow." So I was very interested. In fact, before we parted, I said, "I'd be very interested to read that whenever you're finished with it." Have you ever heard of the town of Malyle? County Down. I went to a church camp many moons ago in Malyle, me and my younger brother, and enjoyed it thoroughly that week, probably because we were chasing a ball around the field most of the week. But anyway, Malyle. You ever heard of the refugee farm at Malyle, where hundreds of young Jewish children were brought from the Holocaust, from the death camps, brought over here on flights to Knox Corner Airport and brought down to Malyle to what's known as Gorman's Farm. Spent a period of time there rehabilitating and recuperating. And there's, of course, the lovely poem associated with the Jewish farm there at Malyle, where the children were protected and fed and helped to recover. And there's the lovely poem there written. It's called Swallows. Swallows, you should read it sometime. "But just as the swallows migrate, the little Jewish swallows during the Second World War migrated from war-torn Europe, from the Nazi concentration camps, and migrated and were brought to our shores, to Malyle, and resettled there." Now you're beginning to see why we're speaking about the Jews today. Well, other reasons why today we love the Jews and we love to think about them. The Bible. Hope you love this book. You do know that it was written by mainly Jews. Jewish prophets, Jewish apostles, Jewish writers wrote this wonderful book. From cover to cover. Jew after Jew, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penning the words of Holy Scripture. Are you glad to have this book today?
Do you cherish it? You go to places like China, they cherish the Bible. Probably because they only have a page of it. And have to pass the page around. You keep this page of scripture for a wee while and then you pass it on to the next person and they share it around. We love the Bible today and we're thankful to God for the Jews because the Lord used them to give us the Bible. Of course, today, the greatest reason of all, and the primary reason why we are speaking about the Holocaust, and why we love the Jews, is because of the greatest Jew of all, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He was a Jew. Let us never forget that, friends. And I want to tell you today that Jesus was not ashamed of his Jewishness. The Jewish Jesus, that's what I want us to think about as we come to the end of our service today. The greatest Jew of all. Whenever you read the life of Christ, you find that there is so much that is Jewish about his life. You take, for example, in Luke chapter 2:21, it tells us there of his circumcision. Luke 2:21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Our Savior, when he was only 8 days old, he underwent the Jewish rite of circumcision. And folks, isn't it wonderful to think that even at so young an age, our Savior was shedding his blood for us. His circumcision, a Jewish rite that had been given to Abraham many, many years before. We think not only of his circumcision, but then we think of Luke chapter 2, and we come to the end of the chapter, and it tells us there of a very special celebration in the life of Jesus. It's his bar mitzvah. His bar mitzvah. That's the Jewish ceremony that takes place when a boy comes to the age of 12. A Jewish boy. And the Lord Jesus, the greatest of all Jewish boys, he comes to the age of 12 and he and his parents make their way to Jerusalem. And we read of it in Luke 2 verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. His bar mitzvah. The Jewish boy, Jesus. It's amazing, you know, that account of our Savior going as a boy to the temple. And there he is in the midst of the learned men of Israel. And he's asking questions. And folks, it's good to ask questions about spiritual matters. But the amazing thing about Jesus in the temple is not that he asked the questions, but at the end of it, it's actually the learned men of Israel who are asking him the questions. And they're astonished and amazed at his knowledge. But of course, he's the eternal Son of God. The one who has existed from eternity past. The one who spoke this universe into existence, and there he is in the midst of the doctors, and he's answering their questions. You got a question for Jesus today? I have lots of questions for him. And I'm going to ask those questions to him someday when I walk the streets of gold. I mean, folks, we do have questions, don't we? I mean, who is it? Is there anybody in the service today who doesn't have a question about spiritual things? Probably the most common question is, Lord, why is there suffering, pain and death in the world? And of course, when we think of the Holocaust, we ask the question, Lord, why did you allow it to happen? Oh God, why did you allow 6 million of your own special people to perish? There's only one person in the universe who has the answer to that question, and he's the man at God's right hand, our risen Savior, the greatest Jew of all. You can ask, if that's your question, that's one of my questions, but maybe it's one of your questions, and you'll be able to sit down with the Savior someday and ask him that question. That is providing you are saved. Because if you're not saved, you will not be able to sit down with him in glory. You know what your destination will be. As a boy, he goes to the temple for his bar mitzvah. Yes, the greatest Jew of all. So much about his life was Jewish. Oh, we think of Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24, where we have his compassion for the Jewish people. Anybody ever ask you the question, does God love the Jews? I want to tell you he does, with an everlasting love. Matthew 15 tells us of our Savior's compassion for Israel. He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His great commission, as it were, the Father's commission to him to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus loved the Jews of his day. Did he not cry on another occasion, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but ye would not. Do you doubt the Lord's love for his ancient people? Doubt it no more. We read in Mark chapter 6 another incident that is very, very Jewish, conspicuously Jewish. Mark 6 verse 56, and whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they led the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Notice, folks, the phrase there, the border of his garment. What garment was our Lord wearing that day? What garment was it that the greatest Jew of all was wearing that day in Mark chapter 6? It was the tallit, as it's known, and it's the Jewish prayer shawl, the Jewish prayer garment that the Jews still wear to this day. And there you have the King of Glory with his Jewish prayer shawl. And the people want to touch even the border of it, the hem of it. And healing flowed from him. Healing still flows from him today. And there are sick in our congregation. And I trust that you're praying for them. But the Lord alone is able to heal them. But then, you know, folks, there's sometimes whenever the greatest Jew of all says, I'm going to heal that child of mine completely. And he's going to take them home to glory, to heaven. My, that's the greatest healing of all. Delivered from this earthly body. To have that glorious body like unto his body. Why is it that we cling to this old world? Strange, isn't it? Matthew chapter 10 verse 5 is the commission of the Savior to his disciples. So the Savior, the greatest Jew of all, has received a commission from his Father to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then Jesus gives the commission to his servants, the disciples. Notice what Matthew 10 verse 5 says. Listen, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. My Father has sent me to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now I am sending you to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you too. And me. You see, this commission is not just for the 12 disciples. It's for all believers everywhere. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Seek the salvation of the Jews. Pray for the salvation of Zion. Do what you can to reach Jews with the gospel. And I know that in this congregation, there are those of you who are very much behind Jewish evangelism, and you support it sacrificially, financially. And your heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, folks, that's the greatest way that we can bless the Jewish people, isn't it? The Bible speaks of blessing them. You want to bless the Jewish people? Do what you can to bring about their conversion. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let me finish today, the greatest Jew of all. We want to think about his crucifixion. I mean, how could we finish without referring to it? And we read in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 37 of the Roman soldiers, it says, they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." There it is on his cross, the King of the Jews. The Jewish Jesus. The greatest Jew of all. And there he is, suffering pain and death for Jews and Gentiles everywhere. People often ask the question that we referred to earlier, why is there pain and death and suffering in the world? I mean, you Christians meeting in new buildings every Sunday, you believe in a sovereign God, don't you? You believe in a God who's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. Not an atom to move in this universe without his permission. So can you please tell me, can you explain to me why he allows so much suffering, pain and death? Have you ever had that question posed to you? I've had it. Very hard question, maybe the hardest question of all to answer. Because I do believe in a sovereign God with all my heart. But what about the suffering, the pain and death? And folks, I've learned over the years not to get into a big explanation with folk, but just take them to the cross. Where you have the God of Israel hanging between heaven and earth, suffering for every fallen son and daughter of Adam. The only explanation for the suffering, pain and death of the world, the Holocaust, whatever, is the suffering, pain and death of the man Christ Jesus, the greatest Jew of all, on a hill called Mount Calvary. The God who has created us, the God who controls this universe and whose heart is moved at the suffering, pain and death in this universe and in this world, he is the God who has entered into this pain, death and suffering and has gone all the way to the darkness and the agony of the cross. He is not aloof from this suffering, pain and death in our world, but rather he has become a part of it. At Auschwitz, there are three crosses. You may have seen the photographs of the church at Auschwitz. Some of you may even have been to Auschwitz. And you've got the church there. And there are three crosses. Two crosses on the roof and one cross at the front of the church. I want to tell you folks, it's only at the cross that there's liberation for the souls of men. It's only at the cross of Christ, it's only at Calvary where our Savior bled and died, that we find freedom from the curse of the law, freedom from the condemnation that is upon us because of our sins. And this year, we thank God for the liberation of Auschwitz, and we think of Bergen-Belsen. In the year 1945, whenever our brave British soldiers liberated that camp, and no doubt in the will of God we'll refer to that as the year progresses. But thank God for that year of liberation, 1945, 75 years ago. But the liberation of the soul is the greatest liberation of all. And it's only found at the cross. Many of you have experienced that liberation. Please go and tell others that they can be liberated too. Because in John chapter 8 verse 36, you have the immortal words of the greatest Jew of all. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's pray.